Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You worked all week.
Work.
You didn't have time to look at your fantasy lineups.
Son of a b-.
But don't be afraid.
That's why we give you Weekend Fantasy Update.
Woohoo! Working on
all right, welcome to hour number two of Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Mike Blewett on assignment today. Miss him, and I'm glad I'm here for you, George, because it looks like you Blewett. Giving you a little, like you said, throwing some shade your way with your Seinfeld take.
Yes, and this bothers me very little as far as Seinfeld's concerned. I'm surprised Mike didn't know that, by the way. It's not like I've kept this a secret. I've said this many times about Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. I said nothing. I just didn't find him all that funny when I saw him in a stand-up place before he was Jerry Seinfeld. And so when he got the show,
saw him in
a
little venue?
I just
was it a small venue? When you saw him?
I guess that depends on what you consider small. So in the Brokerage or Governors on Long Island, they're both pretty well-known comedy clubs. But I forget which one. This is forever ago when I saw him.
Right.
I think I saw him on a Rodney Dangerfield special as well. Like I said, he was okay. I didn't hate him, but I didn't find him wasn't my type of comedy. You know, as far as I'd want to watch a TV show with. And I found that over the years, there have been very few comedies that I've actually watched on TV, other than Married with Children, Two and a Half Men, you know, come to mind as far as comedies I've watched. Other than that, I can't think of any other comedies that I really, really enjoy where I had to watch. And I have friends. I was a big Friends guy as well. And so I just had no interest in watching Seinfeld when it came up. And no, I've never seen a full episode of Seinfeld. I've seen snippets here and there while changing channels. Or I can remember a football draft at a friend's house where I guess his wife had it on. And I could see it. Not that I was watching it, but I could see it. That's probably the longest episode I've ever seen, maybe 15, 20 minutes of it. And I make no apologies for it.
Right. And those 15, 20 minutes didn't entice you to say, look at what I've been missing. I'm going to go home and just start watching Seinfeld. It didn't click with you. That's fine. Stand your ground. Don't be a follower. Be a leader.
Like I said, I make no apologies. Obviously, it's a good show. Obviously, I'm in the minority here. I know a million gazillion people have watched the damn thing. You know, but I just don't, and I'm not gonna be binging it anytime soon. I can probably be talked into... I forget the name of the show now. The one that just ended, the comedy on CBS with...
Big Bang Theory?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Girl's hot, and I certainly don't want
that.
Kaylee Cuoco, whatever her name is. Yeah. I think I saw her on Eight Simple Rules from Dating My Teenage Daughter, the show where John Ritter eventually died on.
Yes.
That was a shame. But I guess the comedies, I just think, something that's forced funny. You know, Married with Children, I thought was a fantastic one back in the day before they made Al more of a buffoon. I liked it when they made Al sort of that tough luck loser. But in the last couple of seasons, they made him just a complete buffoon. I thought that got stupid.
Right. Well, when it comes to, and I liked Married with Children as well. But, these shows, a lot of them eventually they do jump the shark, right? When it comes to Big Bang, what was nice about Big Bang, I think it was on for like 11, 12 years or something. But me and my wife didn't start watching it till like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So by this stage, because it's always on, I think, TBS, like you know, for like 4 or 5 hours at a clip. And, you know, and we, at this point, we've probably seen all of them. But I agree that if there's a show that you want to try to get into, that's a good one. I like Big Bang. But it's a shame that it's off the air. But let's get back to talking a little fantasy football here and look at the running backs that you took, George. So you had, like we mentioned, in the Scott Fishbowl League, you had the 11th overall pick. And you ended up going with Le'Veon Bell for the New York Jets. So what do you think overall in terms of Le'Veon Bell? Do you think he's has an opportunity to, you know, return to form and be like, you know, a top five overall running back? Do you think you got, you know, a bargain at number 11? I mean, you know, here's a guy who took last year off. A lot of tread on the tires. You know, what is he, like 26, 27 years old, I think? Yeah, so still, you know, in his prime. But you wonder how his body is going to react. I mean, it could actually be a blessing that year off. Might be just what he needed, you know. It might have hurt him in his checkbook, but you know, this could have could help him. But on the other end, with the Jets, you know, he kind of knows, like in the back of his mind, that he really wasn't his head coach's first choice. So, what do you think? What do you think about the outlook for Le'Veon Bell for this year?
Well, he wasn't his head coach's any choice. His head coach, Gase, doesn't believe in paying for a running back. He believes most, you know, like a lot of NFL teams believe that any running back can fit the system, doesn't need a top running back to survive. So it's just funny how that works out. That being said, weird. You know, that's more of a Jets thing. If you have a GM, you don't sign this player. If your head coach doesn't want him, you don't sign the player. It doesn't make any sense. You want players to fit the system, not the players where the system now has to change or now he has to make. I assume Gase is going to make Bell the focal point of the offense. Right, they don't have a true number one wide receiver. Not that I'm not throwing shade at Robbie Anderson. I like Robbie Anderson, but he's a number two NFL wise. He's not a number one. You know, he's not going to develop an Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, or Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins. He's not. He's not that guy. He's a number two. It's what he is. So they don't have a number one. They don't. You think that they're losing Herndon? You know, 4 games with the suspension. That hurts the offense a little bit as well. But in Scott Fishbowl, I'll say it again for those who don't know. You get an extra 5 points on top of what you normally would get for every 50 yards rushing and every 50 yards receiving. So the way I look at it, that's a lot of games that I got 20 points right off the bat. You know, with Le'Veon Bell. Think about it. 50 yards receiving, he's going to have that. If he plays a 16-game season, I would think in 10 games at least. Yeah, we'll have that. So that's, you know, that's obviously the extra 50 yards receiving, 5 points. He's going to have 50 yards rushing, 15 points, and in the receptions – and it's a half point, so I'm already up to 17, 18 points, and he hasn't done anything yet. You know, that's why Bell, in my mind, will get higher on this list. And listen, a lot of these are all running backs. You know, Kamara, he went first overall. I think he went first overall because of the extra bump here. Not that Barkley and Elliott don't catch the ball. They do as well. But Kamara, we almost know. You know, if I think Bell is 10 of 16, Kamara is probably 12 of 16, getting that that extra points for the receiving. So you can see why these running backs who can catch the ball as well all went higher in this draft than maybe they would have in other drafts. You know, it's just the way it is in Scott Fishbowl. Am I totally convinced that Le'Veon Bell is the man? No. You know, because you mentioned the reason why. Maybe Gase doesn't make him the focal point because he didn't want, you know, he just didn't want that kind of back. Could be. But I just don't see enough weapons there where, well, if it's not Bell, then who?
Right. But he has to be the focal point of that offense. I mean, if he's not, then personally, I think Gase should be fired. I mean, look what he did with the Kenyon Drake last year, too. I mean, he made, you know, I mean, Frank Gore getting all those carries last season. I mean, if you look at Frank Gore, of course, you know, that yards per carry, I think it was like 4.6, but no touchdowns. You know, how could you have like a weapon like Kenyon Drake and not use him? And then prior years, it was Jay Ajayi. You know, as soon as he got traded to the Eagles, he ran for like an 80-yard touchdown and whatnot. And don't get me wrong. I mean, Ajayi has his own issues. I mean, he's a free agent now and has had his injury issues, but Gase's use of running backs in the past has been very questionable, but I can't see him not making Le'Veon Bell the focal point of that offense.
I agree with you, and I think this is where I worry about the stubbornness of head coaches. You know, is he going to say,
good point.
I'm not changing my offense. I'm not changing my offense.
I'll show
my
them.
Offense is my offense. Right, that sort of thing. Yeah. I think now you have the player. You have to adjust your offense around that player. He is your best player. Honestly, yeah, I doubt about that.
No
he
doubt.
Is your best player.
Right.
Sam Darnold may be that in time, but he's not there yet. Bell is your best player. So you can't be stubborn. You need to make your offense now work for Le'Veon Bell. They said he has to be the focal point. He has to get the football, and you need to make it work. You just need to make it work here. So I assume he will, Joe, but am I going to tell you? Absolutely not. We've seen in the past where coaches get very stubborn. No, I'm not changing anything. This is my offense, and I'm not going to make it a I'm not going to change it for one person. I hope that's not the case here, because if it is, my Scott Fishbowl team is going to be in a lot of trouble.
And you know, I mentioned this with Roethlisberger, whether or not he can make the players around him better. I mean, I think Bell just being there and you know, being somewhat of a safety valve, where a guy that could catch 50 plus passes out of the backfield, is going to help the second year quarterback, Sam Darnold. He's just going to make him better, in my opinion. They go hand in hand.
You would think. Yeah, you know, one of the best things for a young quarterback is a good running back, right? Takes the pressure off. You know, then they can't focus on coming after Darnold. If Le'Veon Bell's there, he'll see some eight-man fronts, right? You think that should open up one-on-ones for Robbie Anderson. You know, when Herndon gets back, I think that I like Herndon. I was disappointed he got suspended. But I think that certainly helps him there as well. When Herndon comes back there, helps to not that he's the greatest blocker anyway, but it'll help the blocking. They give Darnold another receiver to throw to there. But the bottom line is, with Bell there, it should be easier on the passing game. You know, Quincy Enunwa, I don't know what Jameson Crowder can do. So disappointing last year. But theoretically, it should be better for them. We'll see how it works out.
The second running back you have on your team, Derrick Henry, and he really, you know, finished off the season very strong. Do you think that he could pick up where he left off for last season? Are you happy with him? I mean, did you end up, was he like somebody that you targeted in your draft, or he was just there and the best running back available? Tell me a little bit about your thought process with Derrick Henry and what you expect from him this season.
Well, when I took Henry, I took my 311. I hadn't taken a wide receiver yet, but I went again for 312, 401, three picks. And there was T.Y. Hilton, Edelman, Cooper, and Thielen were all on the board. So I knew I was getting one of my top four wide receivers there. I was fine. Running backs were getting, as we all know in all drafts, running backs were getting thin. He was by far the only guy I wanted. The running backs that went after him, Devonta Freeman, was his injury. Week three, week four, we know he's missing games. He does every year. Then it was Kenyon Drake, Mark Ingram, guys like this. Henry was the only person left in that tier for me. In this league, probably not as valuable as some others because he's not a big pass catcher, so I'm not going to get that bump. You know, now you look at maybe one, two games I get that bump, if that. So I need him to have the year he had last year, score some touchdowns. That's what I'm looking for with Derrick Henry. It just came down to simple logic here. He was the only running back left in the tier, and there were four wide receivers I was willing to grab with my next pick, and I was going to get one of them no matter what happened.
I ended up, like I mentioned, taking Joe Mixon as my number one overall running back. I took Aaron Jones, who emerged as the number one guy in the Packers' backfield. And then I kind of started thinking about it, and, you know, he has had issues with injuries. So a little later on, he was available, so I ended up taking Jamal Williams, you know, his backup. First of all, just in general, are you a handcuff guy when it comes to your running backs, or are you more concerned with, you know, the best running back that's available the next time that you make a pick? And what are your thoughts on both those guys? Do you think that Aaron Jones is going to be the bell cow back until he proves he can't be, either by performance or health?
I assume Aaron Jones will be that guy. Then again, new head coach, we never really know. You know, but I think he's a better back than Jamal Williams. You know, Dexter Williams is there too. I think Jones is the best back there. And some people really believe, I know in my league, I think Aaron Jones went at 203, which was a surprise to say the least. And when I look back on it, I assumed that he would have gone to a fan. You know, there are fans that play into some. That's the first thing I thought of. All right, some fan took him. Maybe it was a Green Bay fan, maybe somebody, but he didn't. You know, I won't name who he went to. That you want to look it up, look it up. But not that I know the person, I don't. But he went to somebody who's actually in the industry. So I was surprised to see him go that far. But then again, you know, my always thinking, if you believe in somebody, go get him.
Yeah, especially in this league.
Yeah, and Aaron Jones was not going to come back to that person. He picked him at 203. Mm-hmm. You know, if he didn't pick him at 203, he wasn't getting him at 3, whatever his next pick was. You know, 310. He'd have been gone by then. You know, so mm-hmm. I don't have an issue as far as that's concerned, if you believe. But I just think, you know, 203, you know, you took Aaron Jones over Todd Gurley, you know, James Conner, Nick Chubb, Damian Williams, mm-hmm. you know, Leonard Fournette. I think I would have taken all those guys over Aaron Jones. But that, like I said, if you believe in somebody, go get them. If you're going to be miserable for not mm-hmm. having somebody, you know, this is not a money league. You know, Scott Fishbowl is not a money league. So you can do things a little differently. And I say this to our fans all the time, I mean, when you're in your home leagues. You know, unless you're playing for, you know, big-time money, if not having a certain player on your team is going to make you miserable, then make sure you get the player. You know, fantasy mm-hmm. should be fun first and foremost if you're not playing for big-time money. So go out and get the player.
Absolutely.
If you really believe. Mm-hmm. But you know, have an idea where your ADP is as well to make sure you're not grabbing the player, you know, 4 rounds ahead of time. And in this case, actually, Aaron mm-hmm. Jones went earlier than he probably should have, but not rounds. Probably 1 round earlier.
Right.
So I don't have really mm-hmm. an issue with it. But actually, fantasy should be fun. So if there's somebody you want, make sure you get him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just to give you a little clarity as to what Jones has done so far in his career, 214 carries in the NFL, 5.5 yards per carry, and 35 receptions. So he could catch the balls out of the backfield. So I noticed you took two Bills running backs, LeSean McCoy, T.J. Yeldon. I ended up taking Devin Singletary later in my draft as well. In the last couple of minutes we have before we go to commercial, just give me your take on what do you think might happen in that Bills backfield. You also have Frank Gore there. Now there's rumors that maybe McCoy might not even make it to opening day.
Buffalo's a mess. All right. That offense is, man. And as I know, it's maybe not all their fault. They tried to get Antonio Brown, and, you know, he nicked the trade. They didn't want to go there. But they didn't seem to have a plan B. Right? I mean, the receiving mm-hmm. game is – I feel bad for Josh Allen because you're not going to be able to judge him off this year. His wide receivers, John Brown, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, Robert Forster. Good luck. Your tight end's Tyler Croft. The running game's not taking the pressure off anybody. McCoy, Gore, maybe mm-hmm. Devin Singletary turns it to somebody, T.J. Yeldon. There's just a whole lot of mud here, and they're throwing it all up against the wall and hoping things stick everywhere. You're hoping that mm-hmm. one of those running backs breaks out, hoping that one of those wide receivers breaks out. You can make an argument they don't have a number two wide receiver here. They certainly don't have a number one. And you can make an argument they don't have a number two. They don't have a number one tight end. Mm-hmm. Buffalo is a mess on offense, which is a shame, because that defense is going to be championship worthy.
Yeah, well. When it comes to Bills players, I'll never forgive LeSean McCoy for giving away the ending to Avengers Endgame. We'll be back with more Weekend Fantasy Update on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update. This is your jam, George, no? Joe Galena along with George Kurtz, Sean Angle producing our show. What are you doing there, George? Boogieing on down? You got your baseball cap on sideways?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go mm-hmm. with that.
All right. Let me picture that. Hold on a second. Okay. Yeah, I like it. So we've been talking lots of fantasy football. We'll be talking baseball in a little bit as well. It's a radio show, so I can't, it wouldn't I can't translate it to words. It's beyond words. How about that?
That's something.
It is. So, George, what do you do September 20th? Have any plans?
Look, I know what I'm doing tomorrow. Hell, you're lucky I know what I'm doing after this show. More or less September 20th. I do not know what I'm doing September 20th.
If you're not doing anything, want to hang out, Storm Area 51. It's a big Facebook campaign where you got a bunch of people. 1.8 million people, George, say that they're going to Area 51, and they're going to demand to see aliens, alien life forces there. And not only are the 1.8 million say that they're going, but 1.3 million say that they're interested. They've got a big Facebook campaign, and on the Facebook page says, "Hey, we're all going to meet up at the Area 51 Alien Center tourist attraction, and then we'll coordinate our entry." So, I don't know. Does this sound appealing to you, or what about you there, Sean Engel? Any interest in this stuff, either of you guys?
Nope, I'm not going down there.
Busy. It's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So I guess they wanted a sneak attack, even though it's on Facebook, and you know over 3 million people have responded to it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that. It's way too risky, especially when you know there's military there and they're going to be ready to gun you down on site if you even try.
There you go. There you go. There you go. George, any interest there, buddy?
Wow.
I think you I think you just shattered the eardrums of our listeners with that, but that was very appropriate. That was good. You there, George, or did he blow you away?
No, I'm okay. Certainly didn't see that coming or hear that coming. No, I'm not going to be storming Area 51. Yeah, and I'm sure all 1.8 million people will be there because people are so reliable nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So when we last left off, we were talking a little bit about the Bills, and hey, you brought up a good point. I mean, like, yeah, the Bills have a really, really good defense, but the offense leaves a lot to be desired. Looking at their wide receiver core, you're right, there's no obvious... Got to fix the volume there, pal. Got to fix the volume there, Sean. But what is that? What show is that from? That's what was that from there, Sean?
That is from the X-Files. That's the X-Files theme.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's a show that I think I'd really get into. Like I've never really seen a full episode of that. You know, it's not as shocking as George Nunn ever seeing a full episode of Seinfeld. But I think X-Files, because I'm into that kind of, alien, Bigfoot, like these weird kind of stuff. So I think I'd like it. So, and I think it even made a comeback. But anyway, so we're talking about the Bills. John Brown, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, basically a bunch of bench warmers, George, in terms of their wide receiving crew. Although, the one thing I did notice, Zay Jones, he had that issue. I think it was last preseason where I think they found him naked at a hotel. He had some issues. But by the end of the season, it seemed like he had had a little bit of a connection with Josh Allen. And he had 6 touchdowns in his last 7 games. And he averaged 4 catches for 50 yards in those last 7 games. And that includes, within those 7 games, one game where he had 0 catches and one where he had just 1 catch. Now, I'm not saying that, Zay Jones is going to, be the tipping point to you winning a fantasy football championship. But I think in my third to last pick, I ended up taking him. He had 56 catches last season. Like you said, there's really nobody here that really blows your mind in terms of Bills wide receivers. Who's to say that maybe that 56 doesn't turn into maybe 70? What do you think?
Well, I think let me know how that works out for you. Zay Jones, he does have the upside of being an NFL wide receiver, too. It could happen, but I mean, it's just ugly here. Who's taking the pressure off the defense here? I mean, if you're a diva, you're gonna be like, well, nobody really have to stop here. And there's no number one anywhere. McCoy at this point in his career is a number two running back at best. So is Gore. Mm-hmm. Devin Singletary maybe turns out to be something, but how many chances is he going to get ahead of two? You know, Gore's certainly a Hall of Fame. McCoy's probably close to that as well. So how many chances is he getting this year? I mean, the wide receiving core, you can go on and about it's poor. To put it nicely, it's poor. You know, Tyler Croft is a number two tight end doing number one. I mean, it's ugly. It's just ugly here. This is a team that didn't have a plan B after those Antonio Brown. After Brown nixed that trade, there was no plan B here, and they have no wide receivers. That's why it's going to be a hard year for Josh Allen, because you're not going to be able to judge him because he has nobody to throw to, and his running game is probably going to be average at best. It's just a shame because this defense is really very good. But they're going to be put in a lot of bad spots where, you know, the offense is going three and out from a 25 and punting the ball. You know, so Diva's going to have to hold tight from the, their other team's 40. You know, it's not going to be a good situation for Buffalo. It's great defense, but just as bad an offense.
So you don't think that Josh Allen's ability to run the ball makes him somebody? I mean, what do you consider Josh Allen at best? I would imagine, from the way that you're talking, probably at best a backup quarterback. I mean, he I think he was the number one quarterback for the last five games of the season, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, you got a point. I mean, you know, you had those last five games where now opposing teams have tape on him, and they're going to know that he's got those legs that could really change a game. So what do you think about Josh Allen in terms of, I mean, you think that this lack of weapons is really going to hurt him to the point where, you know, he might not even be a QB2?
I don't have him as a QB2. I don't have him in my top 24. He's just out there. He's right in there with guys like Stafford, Mariota, you know, right in that pretty much that same length there. Quarterback is extremely deep. If you want to put him in quarterback two, then you probably have to take out guys like, I mean, is Carr going out? You're taking Derek Carr out? I think I'd rather have Carr with Antonio Brown in that offense there. Taking Garoppolo out? You know, that's what these are guys you have to take out. I do have him ahead of someone like Sam Darnold. I have him ahead of Eli Manning. And for Eli, it's mainly because I don't think Eli starts the entire season, so you got to take him out. I have him ahead of Rosen, Flacco, Haskins, guys like that. But who are you taking out to make him a quarterback two? He's close. You know, you want to put him over Marcus Mariota? I'm fine with that. But then again, I don't have Mariota as a number two. Mariota's 25. You know, pretty much even now, I think, is a coin toss here. You want to take him over Stafford because you think there's some more upside there? I might argue the upside because, I mean, he would need at least a receiver or two of those guys to step up. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I wouldn't put him above Carr. I wouldn't put him above Garoppolo. Darnold, maybe. But once again, Darnold has some legitimate weapons to throw to. And then after that, you get quarterbacks who are much better, you know, easily choices above him. Jackson, Winston, Rivers, Cousins, you know, Trubisky. You know, these guys I have only the mid to late teens, and they're certainly above Josh Allen. It's a quarterback-rich time. It's, once again, I'll say it's why, in my mind, all leagues have to go to Superflex. Because if you don't, you can wait forever to take quarterback. Hell, you'll have great backups more as your starting quarterback. You don't need to take quarterback early.
All right, good point there. So let's take a look at some of the wide receivers that you and I took in our Scott Fishbowl drafts. In the third round, they end up going with Antonio Brown. And so we could talk a little bit about Brown and Derek Carr. What do you think that a guy like a Brown does for a Derek Carr? And I almost feel like I'm repeating myself, but in terms, do you think that Brown is a guy that's going to help to make Derek Carr? Yeah, how much of an impact does he have on Derek Carr's season? I'm sorry, because basically without him, it seemed like he was kind of fading into mediocrity, right? But now all of a sudden he has, and in my opinion, definitely a top 10, maybe even a top 7 wide receiver. I don't think that Antonio Brown is done by any means. I mean, I know that he's a wacko and, you know, all the tweets that he was dealing with, and maybe he's a diva. Not even maybe. I mean, he's a diva. But, you know, I mean, so talk to me about what you think the Raiders offense, you know, and Carr and Antonio Brown, that connection is going to be like this season.
Well, the only wide receivers I would absolutely take above Brown are Adams, Hopkins, Thomas, Jones, And that's probably it. Beckham's certainly close. He was still with the Giants. He probably would be a definite. But moving on to Cleveland, we don't know for sure here. But I would probably take Beckham over Brown. But it's close there. Tyreek Hill would also be close. Once again, he's looking at all those guys in this tier. Beckham, Hill, Brown are all pretty much in the same tier for me. With guys like Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Smith-Schuster, T.Y. Hilton in the next tier. So I think Antonio Brown's going to have a fine season as well. Now, I don't think he'll do as well as he did with Pittsburgh and Ben, mainly for a couple of reasons. One, Ben's a better quarterback than Carr. Anybody arguing that? Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can argue that. Plus, he knows the new system in Pittsburgh, backwards and forwards. There could be an adjustment period in Oakland. If you're asking me, would I shy away from Brown? No. No, I wouldn't. I mentioned where I have him. I have him, I think it's number six on my list, or seventh, and that's where I would take him. You know, in my Scott Fishbowl, he went 212, which is about right, maybe a little late for him. I would have taken him if he was available with my pick. I mentioned I took a receiver in the fourth round. If he would have been available 12 picks later, I'd have taken him, but there was no chance he was ever going to get to me. I would probably take him over Mike Evans. I mentioned my rankings there. I think Brown will be fine. He's certainly a diva and a pain in the ass. You know, and hopefully he doesn't do stuff like that in Oakland, but we know it's a matter of time.
Right, right. I see you took as your first wide receiver Adam Thielen. We talked a little bit about Kirk Cousins earlier, you know, Thielen and Diggs. And you ended up going with Sammy Watkins as your number two wide receiver. Any regrets now with the news of Hill with the Watkins thing? We talked about Watkins earlier.
I guess if you're asking me would I have taken Tyreek Hill here, sure, if I would have known that. But I thought, like I said, I can't tell you how much I'm surprised he got nothing.
Right,
you know,
right.
I thought two games, which is what everybody was speculating wasn't going to happen. I thought it was going to be four. What I thought what the NFL would end up doing with that, they wanted six, but they would we'll give you four, but you know, let's not go through the courts, that sort of thing.
Right.
You know, we'll get it open in September. That's what I thought was going to happen. The fact that he got none is everybody's shocked. There's no one who thought he wasn't going to get suspended. You know, so it is what it is. But yeah, if I would have known, sure, I would have taken Tyreek Hill here gladly. But then again, if we had all known, Tyreek Hill doesn't last to me. So I really can't complain about that. There's no way he makes it to, when I took my first year at 402, if we knew for sure that he wasn't going to get suspended. So, like I said, I'm not really complaining about that. I said before, after I took Henry at 311, one of the reasons I took Henry and not a wide receiver was because there were four wide receivers I liked: T.Y. Hilton, Julian Edelman, Amari Cooper, and Adam Thielen. And I was going in three picks, so I was going to have a choice of at least two if everything went wrong. Well, everything did go wrong. The guy who was picking after me ended up going back-to-back wide receiver and took two of my four. He took T.Y. Hilton and Edelman. So that obviously made my choices down to Thielen and Cooper. And it was close. For me, it just came down to, once again, I think Minnesota with Thielen will throw the ball a little bit more. Thielen, that 50 yards is not that hard for him to get. Cooper, I think, is going to have some big games and some not-so-big games with the Cowboys, depending on how the game's going. And I don't trust Dak Prescott. Yeah, I don't. You know, hopefully, as a Cowboy fan, it works out here, but I have a tough time trusting him. I think also he's going to step up and be a consistent week in and week out. Don't know how true that is. And the fact that Ezekiel Elliott could hold out, played a part in this as well, that wouldn't be good for Cooper at all. Dallas doesn't have a good backup. There'd be a much more defensive presence on him. So I took Thielen. If all four would have been available, I would have taken T.Y. Hilton.
All right. I'm going to ask you about Jarvis Landry in a second. But gut feeling, you think Zeke holds out, or do you think they could work something out, or what happens there?
What's going on with the running backs, it makes sense to hold out because in Zeke's case, Cowboys got him for four more years. Now, he's only in the fourth year. Next year, they'll have the fifth-year option, which will certainly be picked up. And then they could franchise him for 2 years, and he'll still be getting below market value with those franchise tags. Assuming the new CBA doesn't do something like get rid of him. That could play a part in this as well. We don't know what's going to happen in the CBA. But as currently constructed, the Cowboys could hold him for four more years. That's about 1,200 touches with the way they're using him. And who knows what he'll be by then. So I understand why Melvin Gordon, why Le'Veon Bell did it last year, why Ezekiel Elliott, why holding out makes sense. Bell was an idiot because he didn't play last year and just flushed down $14 million, which is what the Steelers did offer him at one time. There's no way I would have done that. I'm not flushing that money away. But I can understand why Gordon's holding out, because they get used. Running backs get used up quickly, and I do wonder if that's going to have to be a accounted for in the new CBA, where running backs, maybe they don't quite count as everybody else as far as the fourth and fifth year options. So I think Zeke, the problem with him though is with all the off field trouble he's had, bad year to hold out. He'll have no public support, none. So I think maybe next year at this time we'll be talking about this a little bit more when they pick up the fifth year option. I think this year he has to play.
Was I dreaming, or did I see that? Obviously the NFL has announced that they're not going to suspend them based on what happened in Vegas. But is there still some kind of investigation going on in the background? Did I read that right, George, or did you see that at all? Or no.
No, the security guard's now suing him, but the NFL has already cleared him of that. So unless new information comes to light, he's clear as of right now.
Gotcha. So a civil suit we're talking. Okay. All right. When we come back, we'll talk a little baseball, a little trade deadline action, a little closer report from George, and we'll go back to football later as well. Weekend Fantasy Update.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Little Coolio bringing us back.
You mean that wasn't Weird Al?
No, it wasn't Weird Al. But we were talking at the start of the show about the heat, and George and I were talking about losing power because in the Northeast, just a huge heat wave right now. But the dog days of summer are here, and you could pad your account before football season. Swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8th Daily Roto lineup optimizer user to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and use of the same DailyRoto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB DailyRoto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today. And, George, I like to take a look at the calendar, see what day it is in terms of national days of significance. And today is the 50th anniversary of it's National Moon Day. So back in 1969, do you actually believe it happened, George? Do you think that there's some people that don't believe that we actually landed on the moon? Some old-timers think that, it's just like a TV show. It's just like Star Trek or something.
I suppose it's possible. Sure, I believe we landed on the moon. Would it shock me if it ended up being all fake? No. But there were 10 people believing, no matter what it is, people are always going to believe the conspiracy theory. We still got people who believe the trade centers, the planes that ended up knocking them down. And the explosives were there, and they knocked them down. Okay, sure, whatever.
And then our government was behind it and whatnot. As soon as my ears stop bleeding, I'll get to the next segment. That's good stuff. We just got to keep the volume a little low there, the producer extraordinaire, Sean Engel. But it's also National Lollipop Day, George. I really haven't, you know, sucked on a lollipop recently. But you know, I was in, you know, I went in for gas up the car, and I went in to the little hut where the guy is and paid, and I saw these blow pops just sitting there. So I bought a couple, haven't opened them yet, but I do like a good blow pop. It's got that bubble gum in the middle, George. I don't know if you're a big lollipop guy.
I was never a blow pop guy. I did not like the bubble gum in the middle of a lollipop. I didn't mind Dum Dums. You know, those little lollipops. Sometimes you get them like
at a store
or a bank or something like that. I like Dum Dums. But then again, I haven't had one, I don't know, a decade or two. You know,
well, you're the manager. You used to be a manager of a bank, right? So you probably, one of your duties was probably ordering the Dum Dums, right?
No, we didn't give away candy at the bank I worked at. I don't think we gave away anything as far as food-wise, you know, anything like that. No, we weren't that kind of bank.
So if I opened up an account, you wouldn't even give me a vacuum cleaner or something? Nothing?
Back when we first, there might have been promotions. That's really going back to the 80s when you think about stuff like that. You get a toaster.
My parents used to, it used to entice my parents, I remember.
Right, yeah, that's more in the 80s. I was started banking, I actually probably started late 80s into the 90s there before I realized, before the banking world industry changed. I'm a numbers guy. Shocking, I know, with fantasy. I was just a numbers guy. So I was the guy who could make everything work, everything prove in a bank. You know, make sure all the money evened out, stuff like that. But banking eventually changed to sales. All they want to do is sell. And I'm not a salesperson because I'm generally not going to lie to you. Oh, yeah, it's a great product. I'll tell you, no, the product sucks. You know, you shouldn't do it. You know, it's the truth. Stuff like that. And that just made me not a good fit in that industry anymore. Once they went pure to sales, they didn't care about they didn't care about balancing the checkbook, I guess is how you might put it, as much. It didn't pay. Banking didn't really pay all that much.
Well, I'm glad that you gave it up, and glad that you're hanging out with us on FNTSY and all the great stuff that you do. So, also, it's toss away the could-haves and should-haves day, and that leads us to a little discussion, a little fantasy baseball. As July 31st approaches, George, we're hearing a lot of trade rumors going on, and we're going to get to that in a second, but just want to remind people, Luis Urias getting the call today for the Padres. What happens now is Ian Kinsler, you think he's going to be DFA'd? Luis Urias, a shortstop, right? And, you know, they were holding out. I guess the delay was having to do with Ian Kinsler, I guess, right?
Yes, it was sort of stupid that they gave Kinsler, I guess, so more opportunity than they should have to, right. I guess, prove that he can still play. You know, Urias has been ready for a while. He's a better player than Kinsler. He'll play second base, not shortstop. Obviously, Fernando Tatis is there for the long time.
That's right.
There, Machado.
Sorry,
So that's how that infield's going to work there. Now,
right.
There's also a chance. I've heard rumors that Urias could be probably the centerpiece of a trade for Thor Syndergaard. That the Padres have talked to him. Now, this is not. I'm just wondering. Speaking of conspiracy theories, you wonder if this is what this is. Okay, let's showcase Urias at the major league level for the Mets. I don't think that's the case here. I think the case is that, you know, hey, Padres are pushing for a wild card spot, and Urias is just a better player. They've given Kinsler more than half the season. It hasn't worked out. That's what I think is happening here. But, you know, for those who like conspiracy theories, there could always be a thing. You know what? Doesn't hurt us to showcase him. You know, maybe the Mets will take him as the centerpiece of the deal, along with some smaller pieces there. So it could be that also, but I think it is just because the Padres are pushing for a wild card spot, and he's the better player.
Yeah. Well, Urias, when called upon in the big leagues, you know, it's a very small sample size, hasn't gotten it done, but, man, you look at his numbers in the minor league so far this year, .315, 19 home runs, 50 runs batted in, 7 steals. So public was clamoring for him, and look, you know, the Padres, you mentioned Tatis, and you know, they're not into this whole service time thing. You know, they'll just call up a player that they think they could help them, and you know, they're not out of it, right? I mean, where are they in the standing? Well, I guess they are. Well, I mean, this might not be totally current, but I have them 4.5 games out of the wild card, so I guess they're technically not out of it.
Well, they're certainly not out of it. The service time thing, when you think about it, is really idiotic. I can understand you delaying it a couple of weeks to get rid of the Super 2. You know, this is where you make sure you have 4 years. But, hey, there's going to be a new CBA there, too. You don't know what the new rules are going to be. They may change this completely where it doesn't matter anymore. And if you're worried about 6 years down the line, I mean, why are you worried about that? 6 years down the line before they hit free agency? Really? To make it a seventh year? That player may suck. Well, you can't wait to get rid of him anyway. You know, you're not holding on to him. Or you may end up being traded. So many things can change there that I just don't understand why. I have no problem, you know, the Chris Bryant thing where they held him back for a couple of weeks. Vladimir Guerrero, he got hurt anyway, but they would have held him back a couple of weeks. All right, I have no problem with a couple of weeks, you know, for that. Once again, to get rid of the Super 2, which is three, you know, could be 3 to 4 years down the line. That I'm okay with. But you're worried about almost double that amount of time? I think that's just nuts. Play to win now. It always reminds me of, I believe it was the Giants, before they went on their almost a Super Bowl, before they went on their World Series run, when they didn't bring up Posey right away, and they ended up missing the playoffs by one game. Think Posey would have gotten you in the playoffs that year if you'd have brought him up? Pretty sure he would have. You know, I just think it's silly.
Yeah.
You know, I play to win now. I'm going to worry about 6 years down the line. I'll worry about that in 6 years. I'm a GM. I might not even have a job there in 6 years.
Mm-hmm. No, very true. Very true. Speaking of teams still in the hunt, look what the Indians have done, George. If the season ended today, they'd be the one of the AL wild card teams. And, you know, if you look at all these big-name players that have been called up this season, you know, Austin Riley, Vlad Guerrero Jr. What about Oscar Mercado? You say tomato, I say tomato. But 5 for 5 last night, this guy. Now batting .299 on the season. 7 home runs, 9 stolen bases. Quietly, you know, very nice fantasy player, Oscar Mercado.
Yes, and if the Indians are smart, leave this kid alone. Put him in center field and leave him alone. Stop moving him around, leave him alone. All right, the Indians, not surprising that they're playing better. The pitching staff, even without Kluber, without Carrasco, is still good. They have pitching to spare there. This is why I expect them to trade Trevor Bauer. Because once again, they need to save money here. Bauer doesn't want to sign long-term with anybody. And then if they trade him now, the team would get it for next year too. So you trade Bauer to the Yankees. I'm just going to bring up the Yankees. I'm not saying he's going there, but you trade him to the Yankees. Right. The Yankees would not only get him for this year, but we get him for next year as well. That makes him more valuable. You wait till after the season, well, now you only get him for one pennant chase. You wait him till next year's deadline, well, now you'll get half a year. And more importantly, Cleveland can afford to deal him, especially if they get useful pieces for this year. And I think that's what Cleveland wants to do. I think they want to trade Bauer, but I think they don't want you know, young prospect. They want someone who can help them win now. You know, sort of like what the Tampa Bay Rays did last year. They traded Archer, and they got Glasnow. I know he got hurt, but they got him. And Austin Meadows, players that could play now, help them play. I think Cleveland would like a similar sort of deal. You know, now, if you look at the Yankees, I think Clint Frazier makes sense to go back to Cleveland. That's where he came from. That's where the Yankees acquired him. And another piece. I'm not sure what the other piece would be, but that would have to be worked out there as far as that's concerned. But I think they'll talk to many teams about that. So I think that makes sense for them to do that now because they have Kluber coming back. Looks like he should be back within 4 to 6 weeks. Carrasco, probably a little earlier than that. So, once again, they have pitching to spare here. Bauer being dealt makes sense here. Minnesota Twins, you're saying that they're struggling now. Yeah, because when you – they still hit like monsters, but that pitching staff started to struggle. You know, Odorizzi, he was Cy Young for the first two and a half months. He got hurt, not the same pitcher anymore. Yeah, I mean, we
did he go from Cy Young to sayonara like Greg Nettles used to say? Was it Nettles that said that?
Greg Nettles said that about that's a great quote from Nettles about Sparky Lyle. And then the Yankees the next year acquired Rich Gossage. Sparky Lyle won Cy Young, so Nettles wrote that Sparky Lyle went from Cy Young to sayonara. It's just a fantastic line that he said that. So you know, and I don't think he's quite there yet. You know, he's not going sayonara, but he's just he's not that same pitcher anymore. You know, and that's why, once again, we said it more than once on this show and other shows where, you know, he was a sell high. He wasn't going to do this all season long. You know, you were riding that streak while it happened here, and now he's an afterthought. You know, not pitching very well since the injury, which wasn't a major injury. I think it was a blister off hand. But he's not the same pitcher right now. And baseball, like I said, baseball's a marathon. It's a long season. Those innings add up.
Yes, it is. Absolutely is. And we talked about Oscar Mercado earlier. I tipped my cap to the legend Lenny Melnick. Who, he was talking about him way before the season started. So I tip our cap to a friend of the show, Lenny Melnick, the legend. And so you mentioned Trevor Bauer. possibly getting traded. The rumors of him going to the Padres as well. So maybe, you know, you would talk about him being the centerpiece of a big deal. So maybe that could be it. But fantasy players that had a little patience when it came to Jose Ramirez, starting to see some dividends from their patience, because over his last 13 games since July started, he's actually batting .327, four homers and 15 RBI. You think he's fully back? Or it's obviously encouraging. And, you know, I guess fantasy owners that had invested that first-round pick in Ramirez had nothing that they could have done than bench him. It wasn't like they were going to, drop him, or if they were going to trade him, they were going to trade him for a penny on the dollar or whatnot. But what do you think about Jose Ramirez going forward?
Yeah, he seems to be turning it around well. I mean, he's playing better, bottom line is. Listen, he's never going to return that first-round value. Top five pick he might have been in a lot of leagues. That's not happening. But he's playing better now. And you mentioned it. If you tried to trade him at any point, you were taking 70 cents on the dollar. You know, which might have been good enough for you if you got a piece you could use here. But now he seems to maybe figure it out. I can't tell you why he played so poorly. You know, I'm not so sure it matters now. Right? We only care about what he's going to do for the rest of the season now. It's what anybody should care about. But over his last, he's hitting home runs now. What has he got? I think he has four in the month of July. Right, four in the month of July. He's stolen bases this year, though. That really hasn't been a problem.
Yes,
he's
on pace.
He's been 34 last year. He's on pace to steal about the same this year. You can look at his average goal. He's batting .231, but we don't care about that. And that's already in the past. You care about what he's going to do from this point forward. And I think I think he can help a fantasy team, but like I said, he's not going to be that first-round pick. So if you could trade him that, because someone does believe he's going to be that guy, he's turning it around now he's going back to the way he was, I would still move him. You know, I'm not betting on that at all, but I think he'll be a better player. You know, if you happen to have two good second basemen, middle infield, and you didn't need it, you're planting him on your bench, I think you can put him back in your starting lineup now. Just don't expect, that number five overall value.
Right. Hey, as we head out towards the commercial, are the Yankees a bunch of savages?
That was great what Boone did. Absolutely great. He needed to do that. You know how I feel about home plate umpires. They're terrible. He's a kid. He was called up in AAA first year in the majors. He was horrible that game. Absolutely horrible. They were showing it over and over again on whatever broadcast I was watching. I don't think it was the MLB Network. Or, yes, about how his pitch. He was calling balls that were obviously strikes and strikes that were balls. And it was, for the most part, going against – I don't want to sound like a homer, but, you know, once again, the numbers are the numbers. The calls were going against the Yankees. And the balls he was calling, we went to a borderline. The one pitch the judge was 8 inches low. It was a joke. It's like, what's going on here? So, boom, that was just fantastic. Go out there, protect his teammates. My best thing is what he said last. You got to tighten this shit up. You know, I mean, it was great. It was great lines by Boone.
Yeah. I liked it. It showed that, he stuck up for his players. Showed he's got some life, some emotion. I like it. When we come back, we continue to talk a little fantasy baseball, then work our way back to fantasy football. You're listening to Weekend Fantasy Update.